And so this morning, I would like to focus on the theme, the meaning of God's call. When I think of the call to Jeremiah, it's really an epic journey. And as an epic journey, it is life-changing for Jeremiah. When Jeremiah started, he had no idea what the end would look like. It's an epic journey. I know I'm defining this in my terms today. And this journey for Jeremiah was physical. It was emotional, spiritual, inner journey. It was a journey of the soul as well. And I'm sure there are many of you that have gone through epic journeys. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, we were having a good time in the swimming pool with our grandchildren. And it was amazing to watch them, that they had taken swimming lessons, so now they could duck their head underwater. And even as we were swimming, Nora said, "I can open my eyes under the water." So every little thing meant something to them. And it was a joy to be with them, to watch them in this discovery, to watch them in how they were just embracing life. And then I thought of something last night. I said, you know, when I was Nora's age, going into grade one, I went into boarding. And I think, really? Whew. That's so young to start something like that. And that was my epic journey. If I could summarize it, my life, that was probably the journey that had the most impact on me. Because I left home and I went into an institution. An institution where there were bells for everything, and everything was scheduled, and it was connected to school, it was connected to other kids my age, and so on. It was a journey that had both pain in it and a journey that had many good surprises. It was a journey that formed and shaped me into who I am today, and it was the beginning of that journey. There were obviously other factors involved. Growing up in the Indian culture, growing up with parents who were from Canada and of Mennonite background. And so all these things kind of come together, but this is one of those things that formed and shaped me in my journey with God. And so I'm sure you can recognize that in your lives, maybe there has been an epic journey. And sometimes epic journeys don't have to be, you know, something like that. Sometimes epic journeys happen out of the blue, and we don't know. And we've experienced some of that this year. We've had some deaths that weren't expected, and that begins an epic journey, right? It changes one's life. It changes one's direction. And so you could go on and talk about all these changes in life, and they are like epic journeys. And they are journeys that God has a chance to move in and give a beautiful call. So let's take a look at this epic journey with Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1, 4 to 10, we have this beginning of this epic journey. "The word of the Lord came to me saying," that's interesting when you think of that, the word of the Lord. This was something that Jeremiah would hear over and over and over again in his prophecies. "The word of the Lord came to me saying," only this time it was very personal. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." You see, Jeremiah was a priest, and so he probably had some idea of what it was like to serve as a priest. He had some idea of the Psalms. He had some idea of the history, obviously, of the people that had been that he had been part of. And now he was going to another part of that journey. His life would change forever. This was God's call in his life. There are two important ingredients here. The one, it says, Jeremiah, "I knew you. I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." It's an interesting thought, right? That there is that element that God had known who Jeremiah was, even before he started, and even before this call, God had known Jeremiah, what the experiences he went through, that which he, whatever his life was like, that, all that, God had known him. And so, you know, it was that inner journey that began the epic journey. God said, I know you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you to be a prophet. This is so true of many women and men of God. Think of Moses. Moses' call was at the burning bush on the Mount Horeb. But his call came when he was how old? He was 80 years old. He was a senior. Is that amazing, right? Moses was a senior, but he had spent 40 years in Pharaoh's court. He had spent 40 years in the wilderness. And now he was ready, and God called him to an amazing task. I want you to set my people free. My goodness. That doesn't mean that God didn't help develop him and so on through this process, but he was ready at that point for the call of God. If you look at others throughout the Old Testament, God did the same thing. It seems like he called people who were ready at that time. Their experiences, he said, I knew you, I formed you, I've shaped you, and now comes the call. And so that we see in Jeremiah in a unique way. And Jeremiah says, oh God, you know, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm way too young. It's interesting. When God calls us, sometimes we have these excuses, right? Yeah, but I can't go. I can't speak. I get tongue twisted. I don't have this energy. I don't have the strength and all that kind of thing. And God responds, do not say I'm too young. Yeah, right. Thanks, Lord. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Wow. Imagine that. I will tell you and I will rescue you. Like, oh no, what's happening? This call is going to mean that God has to rescue me from something. It's not an easy call, right? Amazing. Not only had God shaped him to this point, there would be a lot of shaping and molding to come. The journey of being united with God in the inner life, in the soul, was every bit as important, or maybe even more important, than the actual outward actions. So what might this look like? And here I'm going to just speak about Peter Scazzaro's book on emotionally healthy spirituality. He calls this the stages of faith. And so Jeremiah, we could just speak for Jeremiah for a bit. In the first stage, he had an awareness, he had a life-changing awareness of God. He was a priest, okay? And whatever that involved, he probably knew what that meant in terms of discipleship, what we call now. He was active in this life in some form or shape as a priest. And when this call came, he hit the wall. He hit a wall that would change his life. And this life had a real inner journey. I'm sure he had to go in and say, oh, am I really going to trust in God? My words aren't going to come out. I'm young. How are they going to listen to me? And so on. And so this is an incredible wall. It was a journey inward. And then there comes a journey outward where he takes that which he has learned from the inward journey and he takes it out and he eventually is transformed into love. And I say that, as you'll see, Jeremiah spoke not as one from the outside, kind of condemning people. He spoke as one who was part of the people. And you'll see that as I make some references here. And so he has transformed in this call into love. And so it was from that place that he spoke. And then this call goes on. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. It is here that Jeremiah gets his assignment. It's not easy. He prophesied against Judah that they would be taken into captivity. And if you read through the chapters of Jeremiah, it's one of the longest books in the Bible, by the way. And so and you kind of get this sense that Jeremiah's on one side, the false prophets were saying, oh, no, you know what? That's not what God's saying. This is what God's saying. God's saying is peace. And Jeremiah was saying, no, God is saying there's judgment coming. And God used really some very metaphors, amazing metaphors in his talking to Jeremiah. And so we get this sense that his whole ministry was in that place of a dark night of the soul. It was not easy. It was difficult. And he learned to lament deeply. And you might say, well, how does lament fit in? How can someone who is called be so brutally honest? So let's take a look at that. He said, here's his complaint. You deceived me, Lord. This is chapter 27. This is an example. And I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak anyone anymore in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. So think of it for a moment. Here is a prophet who has had an amazing call of God. A call to talk about judgment that's coming. And what if he couldn't talk this way back to God? What if he couldn't say, what are you doing, God? My bones are burning like fire, like they're out to get me. What if he didn't have that opportunity to come before God and lay his life out? It probably would have gone inside of him somewhere and got stuck down there. But he had this opportunity to lament before God, to be able to say, this is what I'm struggling with, even as he was faithful to God's call. And God reminded him time and time, this is your call, Jeremiah. Come back to it. Come back to it. This is powerful, isn't it? This is something that when we think of God's call, we don't realize that there are times when God calls us and we're in this journey of life and faith that there are times when it's tough. And God invites us to come to him and talk about that struggle, because if we don't talk to God about it, where's it going to go? It could go in bitterness against God, right? Or it could go in saying, I've had enough. I'm just out of here. I don't want this anymore. But when you can talk this way to God, it does something to your spirit. It does something with your relationship to God, because it brings you closer to God and helps us as humans to know that God is listening to us and God understands us. Jeremiah even had deep anguish before God in his journey. He says, oh, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the agony of my heart. My heart pounds within me. I cannot keep silent, for I've heard the sound of the trumpet and I've heard the battle cry. Wow. What a soul. What amazing person that could come and be so honest and talk about his anguish and his struggle in this call. It's so profound, isn't it? How often when we have struggles and anguish that we don't realize that we can go before God and bring those in times of worship, bring those in times of pain, and God hears us. How do we know that? Well, even on the cross when Christ was crucified, he cried out in anguish, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Isn't that amazing? That our worship of God has these elements in it. We'll get to the other side yet, but this is the call to Jeremiah. And then he had attacks on Jeremiah's life. The false prophets attacked his message from God in chapter 23, 30 to 33. His life was threatened by men at Anathoth and in Pashur, the governor, and the priest put him in stocks. Can you believe that? The priest and false prophets, you have that in chapter 26, were against him. And then the Zedekiah and the princes threw him in a cistern in a dark hole, and it was muddy, and he sank down, and there's no food, no water. Fortunately, somebody came and rescued him out of there. And so it was not an easy journey. There were angry mobs that were after him all the time. And so you wonder, you know, here's a guy who prophesied as one among the people. He didn't step back and try to just be this person from the outside and say, you know what, this is what's going to happen. He actually experienced some of the struggle, the prophecies that he was prophesying against the people. He ended up going up to Babylon and down to Egypt, and they really don't know where he died officially. And so as we think of that, we wonder, where is hope? Is there hope? Because the third part of Jeremiah's call was to build and to plant. And so he speaks to the people who are in exile, to the people who have been have been taken away up into Babylon, and you have Daniel and so on, that other books that reflect this. But he says here, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. That's amazing, and something that Jeremiah never experienced. He didn't experience this wonderful blessing where he says, you know, I have a plan for you. And so it was something in the future. It was something that the people could expect. There is hope in this judgment, in this struggle. There is hope that God will come and meet us, that God will come and give his grace, and that he will listen in a different way than he had in the past, and that we go from the judgment to the grace of God. As I'm thinking here, you know what? There are some things that Jesus said that could fit this. He said, blessed are you when people, what did he say? Persecute you for my name's sake. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? That's not so much different than Jeremiah. And sometimes we just don't experience the blessing. We just think, oh, you know what? I need that blessing. But in order to have the blessing, sometimes we have to go through the struggle. So where did Jeremiah get his strength from? And here I want to focus on Psalm 71. And this could have been part of Jeremiah's repertoire, right? He was a prophet after David, and this is a psalm, I think, of David. And so, or of that time, and he says, in you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. And so the psalmist in this psalm is really wanting to take his refuge in God. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. And it's interesting how this ends. Listen, from birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Interesting that in Jeremiah's call, God says, I knew you before you were born. Gives that sense of identity. And here the psalmist is saying, from birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. To recognize that in God we have that refuge. In God we have a place to be. In God we have a place to bring our concerns. In God we have a place to celebrate. And this is what the psalmist is saying. This is where we get our strength. This is where we get our joy and courage. And then I want to just focus briefly on Luke. In Luke chapter 13, we recognize that this was a Sabbath. Jesus was healing the crippled woman on the Sabbath. And this woman had been crippled for 18 years and couldn't straighten herself up. And Jesus called her up and put his hand on her and told her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. According to the leaders in the synagogue, the bigger issue was that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. This issue for Jesus was different. He said, how can you do all kinds of things on the Sabbath and you're opposed to healing? You're opposed to, during the worship, to be a life-giving experience? But then if you think back, so where does Jesus get his sense of authority and direction? And it really comes from Luke chapter 4, where he gets the call. And he's in a worship service, and he's given this scroll, and he opens up to Isaiah 66, I believe it is, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and one of those things was to set the captive free. And so here's Jesus in this worship service, and he is responding to his call when he comes, and he says to her, woman, you're healed of your infirmity. And so, as we think of how this fits into the call, Jesus found meaning in his call that went up even more important than the opinions of the people, of the leaders of the synagogue. This call came from God. And so, as we think of how this impacts our call, what is our call from God? What are we called to do? And how does that impact our behavior? Let's look one more portion of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 29. And here we see a sneak preview of what is at the end of this epic journey. Jeremiah didn't experience it, and we may not experience it, but what is at the end of this epic journey? And he says there is a negative side. We have not come to the mountain of fear. What kind? And then there's the positive side. It says, but we have come to the mountain of joy. So when you think of the mountain of fear, what kind of God is present? And they felt a judgmental God. They felt that, you know, even if an animal goes close to that mountain, then they have to stone it. And it says the verse there that Moses was afraid and there's fear. But we've not come to the mountain of fear, the mountain of darkness and gloom, a mountain where if touched even by an animal, it would die. And even Moses trembled with fear. But we have come to a mountain of joy. It's called Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We have come where thousands of angels are joyfully assembly. We have come to the church of the firstborn. We have come to God, who is judge of all. We have come to ones made perfect in Christ, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. So, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. Worship then becomes an active word and central to the call of God. It gives a profound meaning to the call of God, for the call of God must be centered in worship. It is here that Jeremiah listens to God. It is here that he developed and continued to develop his inner life. It is here that he was able to lament and pour out his struggles before God. It was here that he realized that he would not be alone, and God would be his refuge and strength and hope. It was during a worship service that the woman of infirmity was healed. It is in a worship service that you experience the invisible mountain of God, knowing God's kingdom cannot be shaken and will not pass away. You see, and so worship becomes a life-giving word. It is here that we learn to hear the voice of God. It is here that part of the calling is to realize that God is in the business of shaping and forming us into the likeness of Christ, the one we worship. And developing the inner life is so important to the meaning and the call of God. Without the inner life, without that strength, without being rooted in Christ, then the outer life becomes shallow and does not have a depth to it. And so as we think of the meaning of God's call, it can mean a lot of things to different people. But God's call comes to us at times when we least expect it, or at times we realize, you know, like, why is this happening to me now? And through that, we start to listen to the call of God through that experience, through that encounter. And we realize that, you know what, God's call is both inner and outer. God's call is by inner to change us into the likeness of Christ, and outer to go out in his kingdom to be the good news that he wants us to be. So this morning, I want to just pause in prayer. We'd like to do something a little bit different this morning as well. We've put sharing at the end, so we have a few minutes yet, and we'd like to have a time of sharing. And some of you may want to respond to the sermon in the sharing, or you might want to respond to some needs that you have, but we thought that this is an appropriate time to have sharing. And so I'm going to have prayer, and then we'll open it up. And I know this is not, you know, something that you may be prepared for, and today it may not feel like, hey, I don't know if I can share today, but we'd like to continue this practice so that sharing becomes something that comes out of worship as we are here together. So let's pray, and then we'll open the time for sharing. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have a picture of such a powerful call, the call to Jeremiah. It was not an easy call, and yet you gave him the strength. It was a call that involved his whole life, and you were there through all of that. You invited him to be in this dynamic relationship with you in this call. And so, Lord, as we think of our lives, as we think of our church, we realize that the call has meaning only when we embrace your love and your direction. Guide us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.